To Live with Passion and the Teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned in. I'm praying that God's going to speak to you, that you're going to move forward, that you're not going to stay stuck in any addictions or any bad habits or any habitual sins. That was Jesus' message, Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15. Jesus came to Galilee and he preached the gospel of God. He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That word repent is metanoia, and it means have another metanoia mind. Jesus' first sermon was about change, and he was saying that change is possible. It's at hand. There's an urgency. You don't have to wait any longer. You can experience new life and rebirth. You can be reborn in your heart right now, and that's what I'm hoping for you, that you will change. No reason to stay stuck. Wanted to tell you about a man who got moving. His name was Bill Wilson, lived in the 1920s, 30s, 40s in New York City, and the problem was he was an alcoholic. He ended up in the town's hospital four times. Fourth time, worst moment of his life, bottomed out in the hospital. Depressed, finally he calls out to God, God that he didn't know. Here's a beautiful prayer, help. And he cries out and he asks God for help. And right at that moment, something mystical happened. Light flooded his room. He had a white light experienced the ecstasy of God, and he had what he called a God awakening. And from that moment on, he never had another drink. Of course, the Bill Wilson I'm talking about, Bill W., that founded Alcoholics Anonymous. And he said, "I founded Alcoholics Anonymous so that you would have a God awakening." Oh, see, alcoholism or addictions is a spiritual problem, and it needs a spiritual resolution. It needs a God resolution. And what I love about Bill Wilson's story is that which caused him to be stuck in misery and depression was that which caused him to be reborn and to have a God awakening. And that's exactly what God does. God knows how to make all things work to good for those who love him. He knows how to write straight with crooked lines. And it happens in so many people's lives. I think about a friend of mine who fell into an addiction with gambling. And as an escape, trying to cope, he ended up getting addicted to gambling. He had a God awakening. He admitted that he had a problem. That's what you have to do. Had this God awakening, and now he's really involved in the church. In fact, when I come into his area, he and his wife help me at my book table selling my books. Then I think about another man who's now a grandfather in the AA program. What I mean by a grandfather is that he's been in it a long time and he's helping a lot of people to find a solution. He talks about how he was struggling in his job with stresses and relationships, and he began to drink to cope with all that. He ended up getting addicted, and then he had a God awakening. And actually, he talks about God as the one who brings him out of depression and brings him to sobriety. And he says, "I don't know what I would do without God in my life." It's amazing how people not only come back to the church, but they come back different. They come back spiritual and they come back with a message. So you don't have to stay stuck. This is just a couple of examples. God knows how to use addictions and bad habits and habitual sins. On the Easter Vigil, we sing, "Oh, happy fault." We're talking about Adam's sin. Oh, happy fault that merited so great a Savior, that merited resurrection for us and rebirth and new life. People are stuck in laziness. They're stuck in gossip, swearing, smoking, food addictions, overeating. I have a friend who told me that, you know, in the pandemic, he's just gotten into this routine of he wanted to stop eating, but, you know, it's that time of night and he just goes to the refrigerator and keeps eating and feels like his will is. And I told him, admit you have a problem. Recognize that God can help you. Believe that God will help you and make a surrender to the care of God. And that's the solution, real simple. It's in the 12 steps. You don't even have to go to a meeting. I hope you will if you need to. But it's real simple. You must admit to yourself, and this is so hard to do for people because, you know, we're prideful, and I think the number one thing that holds us back is thinking we don't need it and everybody else is addicted but not me. And in order to cope, people are struggling. They're turning to alcohol and drugs and gambling and overeating, porn to escape the boredom. One psychologist called the pandemic a perfect storm because of the stresses and the depression and the feelings. It was Michelle Obama that went public with her depression, talking about because of politics and also the pandemic. So people are going through emotional upheavals, and in the midst of it all, there's this perfect storm with addictions. Well, addictions are like quicksand. If you've ever seen a man or a woman trying to get out of quicksand, what they do is they get stuck in the quicksand, and the more they struggle, the deeper they go. And what has to happen is a lifeline has to be thrown out to the person in the quicksand so they can grab a hold of it and be pulled to safety. Similarly, what the program teaches, the 12-step program, is that when you're stuck in an addiction, you can't really help yourself. I hope that makes sense. You can try to stop and maybe for a while and I can do it and self-made and that whole thing, but that's not really what they proclaim in the 12-step program. They proclaim that you got to come to the end of yourself, you got to admit that you can't do it, that you're powerless. Powerless. That's not such a bad thing, because we are powerless over many things in life. It takes humility to admit that you're powerless. And then once you admit that, then the program is saying that you need to turn to God, divine help, that lifeline, and you can get out of that quicksand. And it's the same way, not only with an addiction, but with a bad habit or with a habitual sin. Many people come to me to confession. They say, Father, I just confess the same thing. I'm stuck in this area. I just can't seem to move forward, and I need God to help me. And that's exactly what needs to happen. God can help you. Now, we talk about God as being almighty, almighty God. We know that God created the universe. Astronomers are telling us trillions of galaxies, not stars, galaxies. We know that God created 7.8 billion people on the face of the earth so far, and it's still growing. Go to the mountains, look at the ocean, look up at the stars. God is almighty. But I think that God shows his miraculous power in lives of people that overcome addictions, in lives of people that come into sobriety, in lives of people that change, lives of people that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, saved. That's the miracle. That's why Jesus came into Galilee and he preached the good news. And he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe in the good news. He's saying you can have a change in your mind and in your attitude and in your behavior. You can experience change in your life. I wrote a book called You Can Change. Underline that word can. And I also wrote a book about addictions and bad habits called There Is a Solution. I don't want you to stay stuck. The spiritual life, folks, it's all about moving forward. It's all about the pilgrimage, about the journey. It's about moving and changing. So we know that change is possible. All you have to do is look at society and what happened in society in 2020 with the pandemic. I mean, we went from 1 week to everybody shaking hands and hugging and talking to the next week, you can't touch anybody, you can't get near people because the pandemic has hit and how our society has changed. Things are totally different now. So that's a parable to me. Society changes, life has changed, we can change. I come from Massachusetts, grew up in Massachusetts. Every October, the leaves change. They go from green to fire red, pumpkin orange, fluorescent yellows. To me, it's always been a parable. Look at the leaves changing. We all love to see it. But we can change too. We go through the life cycle. We go through bodily changes. But change is incremental. It doesn't happen all at once. It's not sudden and automatic. But it's right now. That's what Jesus was proclaiming. There are incremental changes. Sometimes there are major changes, but most of the time it's little by little. It's progression, not perfection. So don't discount yourself if you don't feel totally different. You're changing, but I don't want you to stay stuck. There is a solution. You don't have to behave the same way all the time. If you're overeating, if you're watching things on the internet you shouldn't be watching, drinking, drugging, gambling, whatever it is, you do not have to stay stuck. And I'm praying, as I said in the beginning, that God will speak to you in this program. He will use this program to set you free. So what is the solution? There is a solution. That's the name of my book, and that comes right from the big book, where Bill Wilson said there is a solution. And as I've already talked about a little bit, what is the solution to staying stuck and having bad habits and having habitual sins and overcoming an addiction? And by the way, you don't just overcome an addiction, you come into recovery from an addiction. You're not set free from an addiction per se, although that can happen. God has the power to do that. What usually happens is God walks with you in recovery so that you face your addictions and you face your inner issues. That's what 12-step meetings are all about, so that you come to recovery. And it's the same with habitual sins. You've got to look at your issues, bad habits. What's causing this? And just like my friend with the food addiction, if you admit to yourself, and that's the first step, there is a solution. You admit to yourself, and that's a huge step, by the way. Remember Neil Armstrong on the moon? That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. For a giant leap with an addiction, it's that admitting to yourself and to God and perhaps another person to have a problem. And until you admit to yourself, nothing's going to happen. Unconfronted issues will never get better. You must confront your issues. You must confront your addiction. And if you don't, it's going to bully you and push you around. So how do you admit to yourself that you have a problem? Well, you've heard about bottoming out. People have all kinds of different experiences to reach their low moment. For Bill Wilson, it was in the hospital, depressed. For me, it was when I broke up with a girl and felt lonely and empty. Different people will get in an accident or a fight or whatever it is, have a bottoming out. Some type of a suffering experience that makes you really look at yourself and say, I got to change. I've had enough. It's kind of like the little eagle in the nest. It's all padded and everything. And it's happy in the nest. And then the mom wants it to leave. It's time to leave. So she pulls out the padding and all the thorns are underneath. And finally, the bird takes off because it's uncomfortable. And that's what a bottoming out experience does. It makes you so uncomfortable that you change. Or it could be an intervention. An intervention is when a family member or a friend confronts you with your inappropriate behavior. In a way, my preaching is an intervention in your life. I'm hoping that I'm confronting you with your inappropriate behavior such that you will change. So admit to yourself. It takes humility. Humility is huge in the 12-step program. And number two, you believe that God can help you. The God that created the universe certainly has the power to help you. His power is demonstrated in forgiveness, in mercy, and in personal change. God transforms lives by His grace. That's His business. That's what He loves to do. That's why Jesus, His first sermon, He said, "Metanoia, change is possible." That was His inaugural keynote. And then, of course, you must trust in the care of God for you. And God does care for you. He created you. Although He created all the billions of people on the face of the planet, every heartbeat, every breath, every moment is a gift from God to you. So get in touch with the fact that all is gift. You didn't call yourself into being. And the one who gifted you with your being is the one who cares for you. So therefore, the one who cares for you will help you. And believe that and turn your will over to God. You know, the same will that is caught in this addiction and these bad habits, that same will can be given to God. And that, by the way, if you're Catholic or very religious at all, any denomination, that is what the people that have gone before us, we call them saints, who have lived beautiful lives, all teach. Surrender to the will of God. In fact, Jesus Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." In the Our Father, He taught us to pray for God's will to be done. So turn your will over to the will of God, the surrender. And in that surrender, God will help you. I saw a bumper sticker one time, and it said, "If God is your co-pilot, consider swapping seats." And I think that's a beautiful scene, because instead of God just being in there in the car with you, why don't you let God drive? Take your hands off the wheel. It's Carrie Underwood's song, "Jesus, Take the Wheel." So make a surrender. Turn your life over to God. Watch what happens. Change, personal, inner, thinking, behaving, change is possible. There is a solution. It's biblical. It's time tried. Millions of people are in recovery. You may also want to go to a 12-step meeting. You may also want to go to an addictions counselor. You may want to get a sponsor, spiritual director. You can't do everything on your own. Because I know you want to surrender, but it doesn't seem to be working. Well, go the next step. True surrender means getting involved so that you can really help yourself. And I love the fact that millions of people are in recovery, and they're talking about their issues and their problems. And then I wanted to tell you that you can change in your relationships. A woman came up to me one time and she said, "Father, God doesn't hear my prayer." And I go, "What are you talking about? God doesn't hear your prayer." "Of course God hears your prayer." She said, "Well, not my prayer. My husband's an alcoholic and I've been praying for him to be sober and nothing is happening. God doesn't hear my prayer." And I kind of smiled. I didn't mean to, I wasn't laughing at her. I was smiling with her because I understand how that feels. And what I told her was, the wisdom of the 12-step program talks about you may not be able to change somebody else, but you can change yourself with God's help. And I talked about codependence. If you've ever heard about codependence, that's when I like to use the image of a puppet on a string. When somebody's drinking, they're manipulating you. When they're not happy, you're not happy. When they've seemingly rejected you because they haven't said the right thing, then you're down. So you're being manipulated by the behavior of others. But the program talks about, the 12-step program, Al-Anon for spouses of alcoholics, talks about codependence and talks about something called detachment, where you can not be obsessed by this person, you can forgive that person, you can manage your anger, you can look at yourself and find serenity. That's the whole thing about the prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." That's such a beautiful prayer because it talks about acceptance and courage and serenity. And that's what people need. Heard this story about the taxi driver, and the man was in the taxi cab, and all of a sudden as they're driving, this man backs out right in front of them, almost hits the taxi cab. Taxi cab just last second swerves around, barely missed him. And the man who backed out and almost caused that accident starts swearing and, you know, making gestures towards him and everything. And the taxi driver smiles and waves and drives away. The guy in the back seat says, "How did you do that? That guy was the one that almost caused the accident, and you were so nice to him. How do you do it?" And the taxi driver kind of smiled and he said, "You know, some people are like garbage trucks. They accumulate garbage, they're frustrated, they're angry, they're negative, they're toxic. And as the garbage piles up like a garbage truck, they got to dump it somewhere. And he wanted to dump it on me, but I don't take it personal. I just smile and wave and wish him well. Don't allow people's toxicity to get off on you. You don't have to allow them to dump on you. You can defeat evil with good." And that's exactly what the scripture says in the letter to the Romans. Defeat evil with good. You don't have to react to the way that people behave toward you when they bully you or when they drink or whatever their inappropriate behaviors are. And I realize that it's hard not to take it personal. But the bottom line is some people are toxic. And you don't have to absorb that toxicity. Take the high road. Don't let them determine who you are. And you can be strong. You don't have to be codependent. But sometimes you got to confront. I've discovered in my life, you know, if I just let people bully me or walk all over me, I'm enabling their behavior. And it seems like sometimes God puts these people in my life to teach me how to be courageous. I can only back down for so long and only walk away for so long, but there comes a time when you got to stand up for yourself or you're just going to continue to enable that behavior. That's God give you the wisdom to know the difference. So I pray that you will change in your relationships, in your own personal life. And I love this whole theme of change because the goal of the Christian life really, certainly, number one, is to have a personal relationship with God. Your prayer life ought to be changing. But it's also to be transformed as a person. I am not, and hopefully you too, I am not the same person I was when I first received Christ back as a teenager. I have totally changed. It's wonderful to see the transformation that's happened in me. But I'm still changing. Saw that bumper sticker one time and it said, "Be patient with me, God's not done with me yet." And I realized that change is incremental, takes time, it's progressive. And so I cut myself a little bit of slack, and I hope you will too. Don't always be mad at yourself because you're not perfect. You move forward. But the bottom line I'm trying to tell you is because you might think that you're stuck and this is the way you're always going to be, change is possible. You don't have to stay stuck. I have given you some time-tested, true principles. So I'm going to invite you to take a look at your life right now and to make a decision that you're going to move forward, that now's the moment, that today's the day. That comes right from the scriptures where Paul the Apostle says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And that's the urgency of the scriptures. The scriptures never promise us a tomorrow when it comes to change. It says, now is the time. Make your move. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. So simply take a look within and admit what you have to admit. Talk about confrontation. Confront yourself. Admit what you have to admit. And then realize that you're powerless over some things. Recognize that God's got the power. And He's invested in you. He cares for you, and He's going to help you. And simply turn your will, not just one time, over and over again, in surrender to the care of God. And I know God's going to help you. I know that you're not going to stay stuck anymore. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.